The prisoner lay on his bunk, a faint smile on his face. Months before, he had checked and double-checked the room for watching devices, but there were none. Prisoners on Gouda Prime had obviously been run-of-the-mill murderers who didn't need watching. His face would not be seen. He knew he now had little time left to wait. His move must come with Carell's next visit, when his jailer thought him to be at his weakest. Until her return, he could do nothing but wait. That was no problem. He'd had a lot of practice recently. He closed his eyes and rethought his campaign. 1 hour later, his reverie was broken by a sound outside. A flash of annoyance crossed the prisoner's face. He had misjudged Carell. He had been sure that his jailer would insist on waiting until the morning to make him finally submit. An early start meant that Carell was less confident than he had supposed. In time-honoured tradition, the prisoner pressed himself against the wall next to the sliding door and waited. As the door opened, he allowed his surprise to register for just a split second before hitting not Carell, but a Federation guard. In that brief moment, he diverted his blow to the kidneys rather than the side of the neck as he had planned, merely bringing the guard to the floor rather than rendering him unconscious. Guards, although not bright, did tend to know if there were others like themselves around. With a vicious twist, he brought his arm under the guard's neck and pushed a fist into his back. To the guard, it could have been any one of a variety of weapons.
"The wrong type of movement on your part could lead to serious consequences," the prisoner announced quietly. "Just take your helmet off slowly. It would be helpful if we could have a talk."
As he spoke, he dragged the guard away from the door and touched the plate to its side to close it. The guard certainly didn't seem to want to offend the prisoner with any rapid movements at all. He was quivering in his all-black uniform, which, upon closer inspection, appeared to be completely the wrong size. Gently, the helmet was removed, and the prisoner found himself looking at the back of a head that he knew rather well.
"Villa," he announced simply.
Villa didn't turn for the simple reason that he was petrified. He would know the voice of Avon anywhere. During their last few months together, Avon had tried to sacrifice Villa in order to save his own skin, and towards the end, Villa had gained the distinct impression that Avon was investigating the possibilities of rapidly ridding himself of the whole of his crew. If Avon had turned into a homicidal maniac, Villa didn't particularly want to get in his way. Recognizing Villa's problem, Avon let go his grip and allowed the thief to fall to the floor. Villa crawled a few feet and turned to look up in dismay. The short, cropped hair had grown longer, and the weak chin revealed a few days' growth of beard, but otherwise Villa looked much the same.
"I think you ought to try to be a bit nicer to someone who has just rescued you from prison," he said.
"It was rather hard to tell who you were inside that uniform," Avon replied. "Although I should have realized it was you. You don't quite have that aggressive authority which is the hallmark of the average Federation thug. However, there are a number of locks you could open between here and the outside world, and I rather suspect the average guard wouldn't be able to open them quite as quickly as you."
Villa looked annoyed. "Quite as quickly?" he demanded. "What do you mean, quite as quickly? I can open locks in seconds, which take the manufacturers 4 weeks, and that's when they have the key."
But Avon had already tired of the thief's bravado.
"I don't want a race," he said. "Just escape.